Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to another episode of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera, and today we're going to kind of have like a mosh-posh of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little Rangers, a little Knicks, and maybe finish it off with a little New York Yankees. How's that sound, Nick?
I'm ready for a mosh-posh.
Is that the right word? I'm not too sure if I said it right.
I don't know. I'm vibing.
Do you know what I was trying to say?
Mosh pit?
Nah.
I don't know. Mosh posh for gosh. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, basically, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things, if that makes it easier for everybody out there listening.
Mosh posh.
So, before we jump right into it, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod, and throw us a like on Facebook. You just search MN Sports Talk Podcast up in the search bar. Find our name and click the little thumbs up button. So, Nick,
Don't be that guy.
let's talk about these New York Rangers now. You know, it's been a great couple of weeks for them. They've kind of hit a little rough patch the past two or three games. They're on a little bit of a losing streak, losing three in a row. Currently, they have 74 points. They're 4 points back of the eighth seed. And for a while there, Nick, it looks like that they had a really good shot at making this late-season playoff push. You know, Igor Shesterkin was playing on top of his head. I think he won his first 9 out of 10 games as a rookie. That's, like, never really happened before in Rangers history. Chris Kreider was playing great. He signed that contract extension instead of being traded away. The Rangers ended up trading Brady Shea at the trade deadline for a first-round pick. And it just seemed like everything was falling into place. Mika Zibanejad was playing great hockey. And we can't forget Artemi Panarin, who's just been, you know, possibly the MVP of this team this season. So Georgiev was playing great. It really just seemed like everyone was playing great for the Rangers the past few weeks. But, of course, you know, the schedule got a little tougher. They suffered a couple of injuries. And, you know, Chris Kreider going down with the broken foot. Igor Shesterkin breaking some ribs in that bizarre car accident. But, Nick, you know, this Rangers team has been really fun to watch this year. And, you know, if they make the playoffs, great. But if not, this was a great first season in the rebuild.
It's a great season, but too many things that I'm not a huge fan of. And the first being what they're doing to my boy Hank. My boy Hank, he doesn't deserve this. I am not vibing with what they're doing to my guy. Sure, he might be washed, but I don't know, man. What's going to happen? Are they either going to release him? Are they going to trade him, buy him out? All those options just seem so gross when only a few years ago it seemed like he was going to retire.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been tough for Hank. And, you know, I feel bad. I'm a big Hank fan. But, you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, sometimes that's just the way it is. The Rangers are playing with three goalies. That usually never happens. And, you know, Hank played for the first time the other night against the Flyers, and that was the first time since the beginning of February. So it's been a month span between the last time he played in the game. But it's tough, Nick. You know, like, yeah, you know, he may be washed, like you said. He's definitely up there in age. He's almost 40 years old. But, you know, the Rangers are kind of doing what they have to do. You know, I mean, I feel bad for Hank, but at the same time, you know, he's up there in age. He hasn't been playing great. Yeah, the time off in between games isn't helping him, especially at his age. But the Rangers were in a playoff hunt, and they have two of the best goalies. You know, the two of the better goalies on the team are Alexander Georgiev and Igor Shesterkin at the time before his injury. So when you have two goalies that are much, much better right now than Hank is, and, you know, you're in this playoff push, you know, you just got to do what you got to do. And, yeah, it sucks. They're kind of giving him the Eli Manning treatment, but, you know, sometimes this is just the way it goes. And to answer your question about what are they going to do, you know, me personally, Nick, you know, Hank has a no-trade clause. So if he wanted to go somewhere to win a cup, he would have done it this year. So my personal belief is that this is it. This is the last we're going to see Hank in the Rangers sweater. I believe that he's either going to ask to be traded or accept the trade somewhere this offseason, or the Rangers will buy him out. Because I believe he has like one or two more years on his deal. So I think it's going to be one of those two options. And then you'll go into next season with Igor Shesterkin as your number one and Alexander Georgiev as your backup.
No, that hurt me. That really hurt me. But hey, I guess business is business. I'm not too thrilled about this, my boy Hank. But which is Sturkin, what is going on with my son breaking ribs in some, what was it, a car accident? It was so.
Yeah, I think he was in like Brooklyn. It was like early. I forgot exactly what date it was, but it was like a early Sunday morning, late Saturday night. And I believe like a car like cut him off or something. And him and Pavel Buchnevich were in the car, and he ended up being okay. He got like a day-to-day injury. But it was just Sturkin that got the brunt of the injury. But yeah, it was just some freak accident, man.
Yeah, at least there's a few good takebacks from the season, especially with my boy Panarin. What is he like, 4 points leaders?
Yeah, he's been crazy. Really, really good for them this year. He has like a multi-point game streak or something like that. He's just been on a tear this year. He already has surpassed his career total in goals for a season. He's just been everything and more that the Rangers could have asked for, but.
And the best part is he took a discount to come.
I know, he chose to come here. He wanted to play in the Rangers sweater as opposed to the Islanders sweater.
Yeah, good for him. I wouldn't want to either. But for the Rangers, man, there's like several takeaways we could have made the playoffs. I feel like it's
still definitely
still possible.
4 points back with like 18, 17 games left to play.
But I feel like we're in better shape than other teams. Like the Oilers, they have the top 2 points leaders and they're number 10 overall seed. That's pretty garbage. I'm glad I'm not them. But for the, what's it called? What are your thoughts on Kako during his first season?
It's been hard. You have to admit it. I didn't expect him to come out and be like Sidney Crosby or be like McDavid or Ovechkin or anything, but the kid's 19 years old. So, he's shown signs that he could be a really good player in the NHL, but just got to take it. You got to take your time with the kid. Let him grow. Let him develop. You know, he's not like some of these other rookies. You know, he's almost like, if you think about it, you want to make the comparison, like Frank Ntilikina for basketball. You know, he's coming from another country, leaving all his family, leaving all his friends behind to come play for the Rangers in America, in New York. So it's a big adjustment. Other than like Jack Hughes, for example, the number one overall pick with the Devils. You know, he was from America, so he still has his family. He still has his friends close by. You know, so he's the only real adjustment is going from, you know, college hockey to professional hockey. You know, Kako, he's going from, not only is he going from European or international hockey to the NHL, he's also going from one country to the complete opposite end of the world. So it's a big adjustment for him. But I like what I've seen from so far, obviously. He's got to improve, you know, that's a given, but you know, we got to take our time with the kid.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, but I was ready for him to come in and just light it up. And then like, I feel like after like the first month, he just like disappeared and everyone stopped talking about him. Everyone kind of forgot about him. I was like, oh, all right, there's that. That's cool, I guess, but I'll be patient. I believe in the process. This rebuild, I feel like it's gone a lot quicker. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I should be hyped or I feel like, is it going to be a Yankee situation where now next year they're going to be expected to do X, Y, and Z, and then it just creates unnecessary pressure and then they just don't really make any progress?
I don't think it'll be like a Yankee situation because the Yankees, you know, they went to game 7 at ALCS. The Rangers might not even make the playoffs. But, you know, looking at next year, you know, I think they have a really, really good shot at making the playoffs, especially with Igor as number one. If he continues to be like this type of goalie, you know, and they'll obviously still have Panarin, Mika, they'll still have him. Capo Kako would have another year under his belt. All these players are getting better. They still have Kreider. You know, like, I was very, very happy. I am very happy of how this season turned out. You know, they weren't expected to really do anything. And look, we're in, what, early March, and they're making this late season playoff push. Like, that's phenomenal for a team that was where the GM and all of them sent out a letter to the fans saying this is going to be a rebuild. So please stay with us and push through this process with us. So, you know, they didn't expect them to be this good. You know, they surprised themselves almost. So, you know, I'm no matter if they make the playoffs or not, obviously I'd love for them to make the playoffs. But all in all, if they make it, great. They'll be playing with house money. And, you know, anything could happen in the NHL. That's one of the best things with the NHL playoffs is that it's not always necessarily the best team that wins. It's the hottest goalie and the hottest team that wins. So, you know, if they make the playoffs, great. Maybe they can make a late push. And if Igor comes back and he's the Igor that we saw early on before the injury, who knows? They have a really good shot of making a really deep playoff run. You know, you have a hot goalie. Hopefully it'll be hot, healthy goalie. You have goal scorers. So great. But if they don't make the playoffs, it's not the end of the world either. You know, it's been a great season. You love what you saw from a lot of different people. And you just got to be excited going next year with having Igor as your number one goalie. And, you know, you still have Panarin, still have Mika, still have Kreider, and just see where this team could go next year and continue to build.
Yeah, I'm all for it. That sounds like a plan to me. As long as we keep moving forward and don't act like the Islanders and Devils and just actually be a good hockey team.
They might not even make the playoffs after that great start that they had.
I know. That's a big yikes. I'm glad I'm not them. But isn't it – this is kind of a random thought. But, like, I feel like Buffalo sports, they're in New York, but I feel like they're a whole other world. The Bills and the Sabres.
Yeah, it's just it's funny you mentioned that, 'cause I was thinking about that the other day, and like realistically, the Buffalo Bills are the best football team in New York, but they're not really considered. Whoa, I mean, they are. They made the playoffs. They won over 10 games. Whoa, so it's funny that they really are the best team in New York, but you know, local New York City, local tri-state area people, they don't really consider the Bills as a New York team.
Yeah, they're Canada's. They're one of Canada's teams. Yeah. They can have it. They're the Canadian football team for the NFL, so that's why I don't think they're going to expand anytime soon.
Yeah,
they'll be okay over there. Mm-hmm. They'll be good. Buffalo, the Bills Mafia, they'll be all right.
Yeah, well, they will. Let's kind of like switch gears now. Let's talk about the Knicks, man. You know, they've been in the headlines a lot lately the past couple of weeks. You know, Leon Rose was introduced as the new president of basketball operations on Sunday. Or was it Sunday? It was Saturday. It was over the weekend when they played the Houston Rockets. They played a great game. Mitchell Robinson played great. RJ Barrett had one of his best games of his season, tying his career high with 27 points. Had one of the, you know, a really clutch basket late in the game to extend their lead over Houston. And then Frankie Kham shut down Russell Westbrook in that last possession of the game and locked him down for the game tying shot. And they ended up winning. So
did you say Frankie Kham?
What was that?
What did you call Frankie? Did you call Frankie Kham?
Clamps.
Oh, clamps! I thought you said clams, like muscles, like
Frankie clams. Guys,
I was like, hold on, I had to stop you right there. Right, continue.
But
continue with your summary.
You would think that all the headlines the next day would be the Knicks having this phenomenal upset win over a playoff team in the Houston Rockets. You know, James Harden really didn't play well. He shot poorly, but of course, you know, the refs give him every call. So he was 16 of 16 from the free throw line. So that's why he had over 30 points. But you take away those 16 points and he just becomes average. But we don't want to know when everyone's talking about that.
Feel.
But,
animosity.
But of course, the headlines after that game is what happened off the court and what happened with Spike Lee. And for those of you that might not really haven't really been following the story, really don't know what's going on, there was a video that surfaced of Spike Lee yelling and shouting as it looked like he was being escorted out of MSG. But long story short, what happened was, according to the New York Knicks, they have told Spike Lee numerous times that he cannot come through the employee entrance anymore. He has to come through the VIP entrance. And Spike Lee, according to Spike Lee, he was never told that he had to go through the VIP entrance, and he's been going through the employee entrance for almost 30 years now. So when he went through the employee entrance, this is according to Spike Lee now, he went on First Take the day after. He said on First Take that he got into the elevator. The elevator wasn't moving. A security guard came and said, you have to go back out and come back through the VIP entrance. And Spike Lee was saying, well, I already scanned my ticket. You can't scan a ticket twice. And once you leave an arena, a sporting event, you can't re-enter. And then they basically were saying, all right, well, we'll like take you and we'll escort you around or whatever. And then he said, I'm not leaving. I'm not getting out of the elevator. The elevator goes up to the fifth floor because that's where the court and the ice is. He gets out and there's a bunch of security there waiting to like get him. And apparently at halftime, James Dolan went up to him, and according to Spike Lee, he said that he didn't shake his hand, and that when James Dolan said, we got to talk, he said, we're not talking about nothing, and that was it. And following the game, Spike Lee said that the first thing he did was run to Stephen A. Smith. For some reason, like, I just thought that was childish, running to Stephen A. Smith. He got on First Take the next day and told his story. Now, you know, I find it a little hard to believe that, you know, like Spike Lee is this big-time Knicks fan, loves the Knicks, but why are you going to go run and make this a national story? You might be mad at James Dolan for what happened. You might be mad about the situation, but you know the Knicks just had this great win. You're this lifelong Knicks fan, but you're going to go run to Stephen A. Smith like you're a child going to tell on your brother to your mom, and you got to go tell him on national media everything that happened. And you know what's even crazy, Nick? You know, someone's clearly lying here. Either the Knicks are lying or Spike Lee is lying. And the reason why I say that is because the Knicks claim that they have told Spike Lee numerous times already that they have told him you cannot come through the employee entrance anymore. But Spike Lee is claiming he's never been told that. So someone is lying here. And you know what, Nick? If I had to put money on it, I'm putting my money on Spike Lee lying. And I'm going to tell you why right now. So he went on First Take. He told the national audience that he didn't shake James Dolan's hand, right? That's number one. He told him, I didn't shake James Dolan's hand on national media in the morning. Later that day, the New York Knicks PR Twitter posted a picture and a statement of James Dolan shaking Spike Lee's hand. So what does Spike Lee say in response to that? Oh, it all happened so fast that I didn't remember that I shook his hand. It really wasn't like a handshake. Convenient. You happen to forget after they called you out on it. Why not say from the get-go, instead of claiming you didn't shake his hand, why don't you just say, you know, we might have shook hands or whatever. But no, or not even mention it at all that we shook hands or we didn't shake hands. But no, you claim you didn't shake his hand, but then there's a picture being posted of you shaking his hands. And conveniently, now you forgot after the picture was posted. Oh, now I forgot that we shook hands. It all happened so fast. So that's number one, Nick. Number two, on national media on First Take in the morning, he said that when James Dolan came up to him and said, we have to talk, he said, I have nothing to talk about. I'm not talking. And that was it. That's all he said about it. But a couple hours later, he gets on the Michael Kay Show. And now all of a sudden, he's explaining this full-blown conversation he had with James Dolan at halftime. So which one is it, Spike? Did you have a conversation with him, or did you not? Are you confusing yourself with all the storytelling, or are you not? Which one is the truth? Did you have the conversation with him that you claimed that you did on the Michael Kay Show later that day, or did you tell him, I have nothing to talk about, and that was that, like you said on First Take? Convenient that all this sketchiness is happening on a national media show, but now you want to go into full detail on a local radio show. So that's number two of the two lies. Now, number three, Nick, Spike Lee claims that he got his ticket scanned when he went through the employee entrance. Don LaGreca said on the Michael Kay Show, when Spike Lee told him that, Don LaGreca said, I've gone through that entrance every single time, and I've never seen anybody scan tickets through that entrance. Now, Don LaGreca also said, you know, I might have just not seen it. It might be something new, yada, yada, yada. But end of the day, those are three instances of where Spike Lee was either caught lying or you know, caught not telling the truth in one way or another. He claims he didn't shake his hand after the picture was posted. Oh, I forgot that I shook his hand. You said on First Take in the morning that you didn't have a conversation with him, or made it seem like you didn't by saying I didn't want to talk to him, and that was it. And then later on in the Michael Kay Show, you're saying that you seem like you had this full-blown conversation. You have all these details. And then you said that you got your ticket scanned, but then Don LaGreca is saying that he's never seen anyone scan their tickets in that employee entrance. So, you know, James Dolan, we should never give him the benefit of the doubt. He's done so many wrong things with the New York Knicks. But I'm sorry, Nick. In this particular instance, I do not think James Dolan did anything wrong. If, like I said, I personally believe that Spike Lee is the one lying here. So if that's the case, which is how I believe, that means I believe the Knicks have told him multiple times that you can't go through here. He's not an employee, Spike Lee. So why – if they told him that he has to go through the VIP entrance, which apparently, according to Peter Rosenberg, is a lot nicer, which what he said on the Michael Kay Show, it's a very nice entrance. Like, you're not an employee. You don't work for the Knicks. You pay to go to the game. So why don't you just go to the VIP entrance? Why do you have to go through the employee entrance, especially if the Knicks, according to them, have told you multiple times you cannot do this? So someone's lying. Nick, I gave you the reasons why I believe Spike Lee is lying, and I'm sorry. I know I'm in the minority here, but I really don't think James Dolan did anything wrong here. I think this was 100% on Spike Lee, and I'm sorry. It was a childish move of him to go run to Stephen A. Smith and get on his show to explain his story the next day. I'm sorry. That's just me. Had to get that off my chest. What are your thoughts, Nick?
I mean, it's very – the whole issue with Spike Lee is, one, I already knew what the truth of the matter would be as soon as I heard the story, because I feel like Spike – I've never met Spike Lee. I never talked to Spike Lee, so this could all be way off base. But he seems like the kind of guy now. He gets fame, money, attention, a combination of all of them, and then all of a sudden they're big shot, they're important. They have to get treated a certain way or that's disrespectful. And he's going through the employee entrance. That's a sign of, oh, yeah, I'm this huge big shot. Like, I basically work there. Like, I am the Knicks. And then they tell him, don't do that. And then he has to go cry and moan and whine about everything. And it's like, you pretty much summarized everything, took the words out of my mouth. Like, if it's this big of an issue, why don't you handle it with James Dolan? Why don't you, if you're this important, why don't you storm into his office and, like, demand that you have to use this entrance because, you know, you're the GOAT, you're God, you're Spike Lee. You are everything and anything. But, like, no, you go and run and whine to Stephen A. Smith, please, sir, have me on your show so I could complain to the whole world and get more attention because this big bad Knicks, they are not treating me the way I deserve. Can you believe they want me to go through a VIP entrance? Can you believe this? Outrageous. And it's like, come on, bro. how old are we? What are you doing? Sit down, enjoy the game, move on. But no, we have to make this huge story because he feels like, oh, wait a minute. People in Miami haven't heard the name Spike Lee in a while. Let me go on First Take. Like,
and what gets me more aggravated is that he's this big Knicks fan. He knows that they're always in the media negatively. And whenever there's this little bit of controversy, it always makes headlines on national media and national news waves. Why make this such a big deal, Spike? You're this big Knicks fan. They just have this. They had this great upset win where everyone played great, and you're making headlines. Like, why do you need to make this a big story? Who cares? And quite honestly, you know, I'm 23 years old. You know, Spike Lee hasn't really made like a big impact on my life. He's a big Knicks fan, but I'm not trying to be disrespectful towards Spike Lee or anything that he's done, but like me personally, like if he stopped being a Knicks fan, for example, like it wouldn't affect me in any way. Obviously, I'm not hoping that that's the case. The more Knicks fans, the merrier. But I think he looks at himself as like Drake for the Raptors. You know what I mean? Like I don't relate to him the way that maybe some Raptors fans relate to Drake, for example. So like when this happened, before this became a huge deal, like it didn't really affect me in any way. But the more I dove into it, the more I read and listened and stuff. When I heard these interviews of him contradicting himself, you know, it angered me the way that like, oh, it was convenient that he forgot that he shook hands with him after that he was exposed for shaking hands. Oh, like the whole, like, they don't scan tickets. Like, I scanned my ticket, but then Don McGregor, because I've never seen people scan tickets. And when he said, like, I don't want to talk to James Dolan, but then on the Michael Kay show, it seemed like he had this full-blown conversation. That's when I started getting a little aggravated at that point. And, like, it just doesn't make sense to me. If I was in his position and I was this big-time Knicks fan, lifelong Knicks fan, people know me, like, I'm always in Knicks gear, stuff like that. I'm trying to do whatever I can to make sure that this issue doesn't make national news because I don't want – it pisses me off when little things like this become such big deals and the Knicks get in the news for stuff other than winning basketball. So if I was in Spike's position, I would try to keep this as low-key as possible so this doesn't blow up the way that it's blown up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I feel like, one, going and making this huge national headline, it just perpetuates the thought that the Knicks are this trash clown franchise, and then boom, and then you're in the same position where no one wants to come here, and you're just reiterating that fact. And two, what does this really accomplish? Like, you're gonna cause beef with the Knicks, and then say you do want to go into the entrance, or say you do want X, Y, and Z benefits. I feel like it just makes it a lot harder on yourself. It's not like you're a part owner and they're gonna like bow to you. Like at any point they could like not let you go there. Like it's I don't understand.
I know, and what made even like less sense is the fact that on First Take he said that he's done going to games this year, but he'll be back next year though. Huh? So what are you trying to accomplish here? You're going to boycott the Knicks for the rest of this season, which is what? How many home games left? 12, 13? But then you're going to – or maybe even less than that. I don't even know. But you're gonna go full force again next year. So then what was the point of doing this, Spike? What was the point of this? Like, just to make people clown the Knicks even more? Give people more reason to make fun of the Knicks? So what was the end game here? It just didn't make sense to me at all. And again, if I was in his position, this big-time Knicks fan – I try to handle this internally, quiet, low-key, to not make this blow up into such national news the way that it has. You know, RJ Barrett had had probably the best game of his career so far, tied his season high in points, and no one is talking about it. Mitchell Robinson has been playing great the past couple of games, but nobody is talking about it. Why? Because Spike Lee had to make this a big deal. This is probably one of the best wins of the season against the Rockets, but no one is talking about it. Obviously, a 19-43 team is not going to make national news for beating the Rockets, but locally, no one on local radio, no one is talking about this great game. On local newspapers, the back pages are about Spike Lee. The headlines on the radio shows are about Spike Lee, not about RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson or Kevin Knox or Frank Ntilikina. It's not about any of those guys. It's about Spike Lee, and that pisses me off. They had one of their best games of the season, and Spike had to make it about himself.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Classic Spike Lee, classic famous/rich person that thinks they're better than everyone else. Classic. To the T, same behavior. Everything has to be about them, regardless of the situation or benefit or lack thereof. Like, I don't understand it, dude. He just wanted to boycott the Knicks for, you know, the next 12 home games just to show them, yeah, you're really going to take money out of James Dolan's pocket. You're really going to make him upset. You're really going to make him care. This will cause change. Yeah, this will do it. This is the fight. This is the hill I'm going to die on. Like, from any angle, to me, it has no logical purpose, no logical benefit, no logic whatsoever. Spike Lee, put on your clown shoes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense. But you know what's interesting is that the other night when the Knicks played the Jazz at home, the first game since the incident, the Knicks had their worst home attendance in over 13 years. So I don't know. That might just be a coincidence that this happened to happen the first game after Spike Lee decided to – this whole incident with Spike Lee happened. Or maybe that just people didn't want to go because of the coronavirus. Who
I
knows?
Think it's just because they were playing the Jazz. The people in Utah hear about the Jazz?
Yeah, I guess not.
That's just my thing.
I don't know. So
if I'm going to go to an NBA game, granted, the Knicks always sell out because they're in New York. I don't know. I think I'm going to take a pass on the Jazz.
But I think that we'll really see what happens on the tomorrow night against the Thunder, because they're home against the Thunder. So we'll see if the crowd stuff stays the same. If this becomes a consistent thing, though, then and it's the same thing in all around sports, and especially with the Rangers. The Rangers have a low attendance as well. Then you could probably put it on the whole coronavirus thing. People are worried about getting sick or whatever. But if the Rangers' home attendance is still the same, and the Knicks continues to go to be on the decline, then you would probably have to say that maybe fans are just tired of this and just want to change with ownership.
Fun fact to everyone listening, Mark actually has coronavirus and he's quarantined right now. His whole town got evacuated,
yeah.
So he has the whole town to himself.
Yeah, I'm just sitting in my room by myself
all
the time.
Sad story. I'm praying for you, Mark.
Oh, man.
What's next on the mock?
You want to? I was gonna say, you want to start talking
Yankees
now?
Have entered the mosh posh.
All right, let's do this. So, just more bad news, man. When it comes to the New York Yankees, we are now what, 2.5, maybe 3.5 weeks away from opening day against Baltimore, and Severino. Well, we'll go in order. Let's go in order. So who's first on the injured list? So we have
Paxton.
I believe it was Paxton. Yep, we had Paxton go down with back surgery a few weeks ago, so he's going to be out until about May or June, possibly even a little bit after that. And then you have Giancarlo Stanton once again injured. You know, this dude is he's a Greek god the way that his body is built, chiseled to the max. You know, 6'8", 280 pounds of just solid muscle. But the dude inside, he's made of pure glass. His bones are made of glass. His muscles are made of glass. He might look strong on the outside, but on the inside, this dude is as soft as Charmin's ultra soft.
Charmin.
This dude strained his calf doing outfield drills, I believe. And now he's going to be shelved for possibly a couple of weeks. So he's going to be like most likely going to miss opening day. Then the next day later, after we hear the bad news about Giancarlo Stanton, we get even more bad news that Luis Severino is going to be out for the next year and a half due to Tommy John surgery. And, Nick, this one pisses me off almost even more than Stanton. And it's not even Luis Severino's fault. The reason why is because apparently he was feeling forearm tightness or some type of, you know, his arm wasn't right in the playoffs last year. Especially when he was throwing changeups, I believe, is when he felt the most discomfort. But if he felt something that – if he felt something wasn't right in last year's playoffs, so in November, why not get it treated immediately after that? But no, they decided to let him rest throughout the offseason, and then they tried to have him pitch again. And I believe that was this spring training when he felt something with the changeup and his forearm. So then he had forearm tightness. And as soon as I saw that notification about him suffering from forearm tightness, I said, how soon until we get the notification that he needs Tommy John surgery? And sure enough, that was on Saturday I said that. And what was it, Tuesday that we got the news? So that was 3 days later, he needed Tommy John surgery. And Nick, this pisses me off because he got an MRI originally. Nothing was showed. And then he had to get another MRI. And you're the nurse, so maybe you could explain this more to me. They put dye in the MRI so they were able to see more. Because I guess a regular MRI only shows like what, like 70, 80%? Of your muscle, and then with the dye, I think it shows like 98% or something like that. But apparently, they don't usually like to do the dye MRI because it can leave you sore and uncomfortable. Oh, boo-hoo, it leaves you sore and uncomfortable. Maybe if you gave the guy the MRI to begin with back in November and gave him the dye, then you would know what's going on. And then if you needed Tommy John, he would have already been, what, 5 months into rehab and possibly been back for the playoffs this year? But no, they let him rest throughout the offseason. Let him see to just fight or heal naturally. And then why not give him the dye MRI to begin with? Because you don't want him to be a little sore and uncomfortable. You're paying this dye $40 million a year, $40 million for the next 4 years. Well, now the next 3 years or what have you, 2 years. And you don't want to give him a dye MRI because it makes him feel a little uncomfortable and he might not be able to throw for a few days. If you're investing $40 million in a guy, you best believe I'm giving him the best MRI from the get-go. So they decide to wait, and Nick, and you're the nurse, so you're going to have to explain this to me. What was the medical staff thinking back in November, before they were fired, when this guy had something messed up in his arm to begin with? Why not give him the best testing possibly can in November, when you have 5 months to do nothing? You do the dye MRI in November, so if you're sore and uncomfortable, you have nothing to worry about for the next 4 to 5 months. Can you explain that to me?
Well, so with any kind of imaging, they have like without contrast and with contrast, and contrast is basically like they inject it, and what it does is it helps light everything up basically. Like, so for example, like if you're taking a picture, you're doing imaging of your chest and you want to see like if there's any blockaging, you would inject it. And then while you're doing that, it kind of basically makes everything bright, or let me think of like a good analogy. For example, it'll make everything like glow in the dark. And so, like, when they take the picture, it just kind of brightens everything up. And so, say you're looking for, like, a blood clot, it brightens everything up. And where it stops, there you go. That's your blood clot. But for, like, with the muscle and they're looking at everything, what I'm assuming happened is they took the – because they like to do without the contrast first, just because it's kind of, like, harsh on the body. And when they do it, I'm assuming they got a pretty good – and they got a good idea of what was going on, and so they didn't proceed with the contrast. But that's the only thing I could think of that they originally that they thought, because sometimes with the imaging, it'll come back negative and it just takes a little bit longer time for it to develop, or the angle may not have been a good angle to show everything. So I'm thinking that they just got their picture, they thought it looked good, and then they just moved on. But obviously it wasn't good. So I don't know what the issue was. It could have just been it wasn't big enough or severe enough to be seen on the imaging. It wasn't a good angle, or they just didn't interpret it the right way.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, but I don't know. It just as a Yankee fan, it bothers me that this is probably something that could have been avoided.
Yeah.
But they decided just to wait on it, and it obviously now you have the worst case scenario of him missing a year and a half. So now when he comes back, Nick, it's going to be 3 full seasons since the last time that he was – well, not 3 full seasons, excuse me. It would have been 3 years since the last time that he was pitching and pitching dominantly. Back in – you know, before the All-Star game in 2018. That's how long ago it would be. And now we're not going to see him until halfway through 2021.
That's – yikes.
It's just
– big yikes.
Yeah, exactly. Yikes it is. So I'm not mad at Luis. I feel for the guy. I know obviously he wants to be out there. He wants to compete. He just signed that extension, so obviously he wants to prove to everybody that he deserved it. But it's just so disheartening just seeing a guy like that just go down. And, you know, I'm not mad at Severino. I'm more mad at the Yankees, you know, training staff for not being precautionary with this.
Shout out to but the Yankees whatever, staff, what man. I gotta apply to their medical staff. They seem like
It seems like anybody could work there.
I know. I feel like they have no idea what they're doing. All these people getting injured playing baseball. You think these people are out here playing football or rugby, but they're swinging bats in the off season. They're tearing every muscle. I don't understand what's going on over there.
Yeah, for
I
real.
Feel like no other team in baseball history has dealt with this.
I know,
like
just New York luck. But so we have Paxton shelved. We have Giancarlo Stanton shelved. We have Luis Severino shelved. And who's the latest to get injured in some way form? Aaron Judge once again.
Yeah,
and this is another one that bothers me, man. Show. Another one. Judge could be one of the best players in baseball. Could be the face of baseball. But the guy cannot stay healthy. And granted, he had that freak injury when he got hit with the pitch in the wrist where his wrist exploded. I understand that. But I'm starting to get a little angry at these other injuries. You know, like this one, for like the oblique, because he was swinging too hard last year or this year. Now his shoulder or the area behind his pec is hurting. And it just bothers me, man, because this Yankees team has the potential to be so good. But with all these injuries, you know, it starts to scare you. Like, are the Yankees really going to be that good this year? Is there a possibility that due to missing Severino for a year and a half, let's just say Aaron Judge is going to be out for, you know, extended period of time. Let's say he misses 40, 50 games like he usually does every year. If Stanton, you know, is going to be in and out of the lineup again this year, you know, last year only played in, what, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games and then was a no-show really in the playoffs for most of the part. But if they're going to be missing these key guys, you know, Paxton is not easy to replace. Stanton, Judge, Severino, not easy to replace. And, you know, we haven't even started the season yet. So who's to say that Gleyber Torres isn't going to get hurt throughout the season, or Miguel Andujar, or Gerrit Cole, or what happens if Tanaka's elbow finally tears? You know, he's pitching with a partially torn UCL. He's been pitching like that for about 3, 4 years now. So what happens if that finally goes? You know, we haven't even started the season, and the Yankees are going to start the season possibly with 4 of their key guys shelved on the injured list. So it scares you if you're a Yankees fan. This Yankees team, you know, they might not be as great as everybody was saying. There might not be a playoff lock, man. And, you know, people could say, oh, last year they missed over 30 guys were injured last year. They won 103 games. That's great. But what happens if Talkman doesn't step up this year? What happens if Gio Urshela doesn't step up this year? You know, like, what happens if Jordan Montgomery isn't the same after coming back from Tommy John surgery? What happens if the pitching depth that they've had for the starters aren't they're not there anymore? You know, so.
Yeah, man.
Honestly, man, I'm going into the season a little worried. And I really, you know, with the acquisition of Gerrit Cole, everyone really thought that this was a World Series team.
Yeah, it's looking mighty scary. And I have a theory. I don't know about pitching. That just has to do with them being stingy and not signing pitchers for years on end. And now they finally do, and it's all too late, and they have no depth. But anyways, I have a theory on the positional players and all these injuries. So, you know how we don't like, we don't appreciate players, you know, hitting triples, hitting doubles, just getting on base. We're obsessed with the home run. Everything is all about the home run. But then when we get to the playoffs, no one can hit home runs. But we're obsessed with the home. We're obsessed with launch angles and analytics, where we kind of make these guys change. Like, I feel, and Giancarlo, he was, I feel like before he came to the Yankees, yeah, he hit 59 home runs, but I feel like he wasn't sitting there every at bat trying to hit he could. You have all these people swinging kind of upward as hard as they can for 12 months out of the year, and I feel like you're gonna tear something.
And on top of that, they're training very heavy. They're training year round too, so a lot of unnatural stuff.
You take a wooden bat and you swing it as hard as you can, like almost every day for over the course of years on end. You're gonna tear stuff. But hey, look at all these other players that get on base and do nothing. I don't see them getting injured. I don't see Mike Trout getting injured. I don't see LeMahieu getting injured. I don't see all these other positional players that aren't trying to hit bombs on bombs on bombs all year long getting hurt like this and tearing every possible muscle in their body, whether it be their great toe, it be their chest, it be their stomach, who knows? Or their eyelid. Everyone's tearing every muscle they have to.
I agree 100% with you, Nick. And now you combine swinging upwards as hard as you can with the body of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge being 6'8", you know, almost 300 pounds. You're already like a freak of nature based on the size of your body. And now you, on top of that, you're swinging as hard as you can in an upward angle. You know, like those bodies break down as you get older, man. So Judge is almost 30. Stanton's already 30. So these bodies aren't going to get any better as they get older. So it's going to be tough, man. We have Stanton for another 8 years. Hopefully we have Judge for, you know, for his whole career, but who knows, man? I don't know if the Yankees are going to commit to him long-term because the dude cannot stay healthy. And, you know, to go back to the Judge injury, what pissed me off too with this medical staff, Nick, is that when this first happened, they decided not to give him the dye MRI the first time because, oh, he's going to be sore. He's not going to be able to work out for a couple days. Who cares? It's spring training. Give the guy the dye MRI. That way you know from the get-go that there's no possibility that there could be something else bothering him. Like, that just blows my mind. The dude is not practicing anyway. Give him the stupid dye MRI. If he's sore, oh, well, I go to the gym every day. I'm sore. I still go to the gym. Who cares? I know I'm not a baseball player. I know I'm not paid millions of dollars to play baseball. But who cares if he's a little sore from the MRI? You need to get it done. Get it done. Because now we're going on weeks. We don't even know what's wrong with him. It just bothers me. This is if, you know, like they finally figured out that it's maybe not the shoulder, maybe something behind the pec. Maybe if you got that dye MRI on day one, you could have figured out on day two that it was the chest. It wasn't the shoulder. Instead of waiting 3 weeks later to figure out it's the chest. You see what I'm saying, Nick? Like it just pissed me off the way that these Yankees handle these injuries. And this was the same song and dance with Severino. You went in circles with Severino, and weeks and months later, he needs Tommy John surgery. So why are we doing the same song
because,
and dance,
you know,
with Judge?
Reasons.
I'm telling
you,
man,
I'm sending in my application right away. Like, I'm talking about tonight, I'm sending that in to get on the Yankees medical staff.
You should. You have your degree. You might as well get in there. You know, heck, I could probably apply and get into it. I'm not even a nursing major or a medical major. You know, I'm not even in that field. But they'll probably take me. It seems like they're just, you know, it seems like no matter who they hire, it seems like it's inevitable that someone's going to get hurt. And what's funny, Nick, is that they fired their entire medical staff after last year, after the injuries that they sustained last year. And apparently they brought in this top-notch guy that, you know, everyone goes to when they need something done, like professional athletes. Everyone goes to this guy. This is like the best of the best. And they're still dealing with the same injuries and the same nonsense as they did last year. And granted, maybe he needs a full year to finally get his programs in, like set in motion, his strength and conditioning stuff into motion. But it's just not starting off good right now. It's really, really not. And we're looking like we're going into the season with Talkman, possibly Andujar in left, Brett Gardner in center, and Clint Frazier / Andujar in right.
That's
what it's looking like.
I can't wait. Hopefully, you know, we'll see this guy Clint Frazier being used this year now that everyone's injured for the second straight year, or will they decide to not use him for another year and not trade him and then, you know, waste value once again? But hey, I'm not a GM. What do I know? But we'll see. I got a strong feeling that we're not getting Frazier and he's not going to be traded and he's just going to rot for one more year.
I think they're afraid to trade him, man, because his bat is so good, but it's just like, it seems like he just has the yips when he plays the field. Like, he just cannot field. So hopefully that they're just really just hoping that he gets, you know, better at defense, because his bat belongs on the major league level. So I think that's why they're just afraid to trade him, because they don't want him to get – they don't want to trade him away and then him become this great player, because, you know, his bat will always be there. It's just a matter of if he's able to field
it.
Hey,
he could always play DH, but we already have 18 of them signed, so can't do that. Struggle. And I did you see that I sent you a video? It was through John Boy with Gary Sanchez. They changed up their catching coach, and he's kind of fielding his catches and his it was a Twins catching coach. And so now, like, he's framing his balls a lot better, and it looked pretty good. I hopefully it'll transfer over to the season. Like, how it is like, instead, before he was like creating a target for his balls and he was on both legs, but now he doesn't frame it, or he doesn't set a target for the pitchers. So the pitchers have to get used to it. But if they buy in, he's on one knee, and then as soon as the ball comes in, he catches it, and it makes it a lot easier for you to quote unquote trick the umpire and look like it's a strike even when it isn't. If you haven't,
yeah, I saw that. I like that. What were you saying? My bad.
Check out John Boy. That guy's the truth. But that video, I thought it was really cool, and hopefully it'll translate to the regular season. But I guess we have to wait, because you can never put too much faith in Gary Sanchez and his fielding. A catcher who can't catch, beware. But hopefully this is a change for the future. But I'm not going to hold my breath, because I've seen what he's capable of, and that includes letting pitches right down the middle go by him.
Yeah, I did see that video, and it is very interesting. Yeah, they did bring in a new catching coach, because Gary Sanchez has been brutal the past few years, and I'm still, to this day, I will never get over 2017 when Gary Sanchez dropped the ball to tag out Jose Altuve, rounding third base. The cheater, obviously, at that point in time, because it was 2017, so they were cheating, but he dropped the ball, and he would have had Jose Altuve out by about 20 feet. I will never get over that. But yeah, no, I did see that video. It seems like it's a good idea, man. You know, like yeah, Sanchez's framing has been really, really bad the past few years. So hopefully this little trick would help him out. And so far, so good. I mean, it looks good. My only concern with this whole new crouch, Nick, is that when you go down on one knee like that, you're leaving your entire thigh exposed. So let's just say, God forbid, you know, so a batter fouls the ball and it hits him right in the thigh, or like right by the kneecap, you know, that's gonna be very painful. So my only concern is that could create like an injury per se if a foul ball hits him in the thigh. So if this is going to become a normal thing for these catchers, maybe, you know, get a little extended piece of gear that covers your thigh, because you don't want to leave that area exposed. You don't want a 100-mile-an-hour fastball getting foul tipped and getting hitting your thigh at 110 miles an hour. It's not going to feel good, no matter how much muscle, how much meat you have in your thigh. It will not feel good. So I'm all for it, but my only concern is that maybe you just got a little piece of extended gear that covers your thigh. That's all.
He goes out in the next spring training game and his thigh explodes due to a tip ball. Thanks for putting that out.
You see
what
I'm talking about, though, right? Like, when he goes down like that, his whole thigh is exposed.
Thanks for that. And now we're going to have – who's even our best – I don't know who our catcher is anymore. Is it going to be J.A. Crap? Who's the catcher? Oh, that's right.
It's Kyle Higashioka.
Rest in peace, Austin Roma and Phillies.
Yeah, he's on the Tigers.
I think he's Detroit,
You sure?
Ew.
I think he went to the Tigers. Yeah. Yeah, because the Phillies have JT Realmuto. It was Didi that went there. Didi and Joe Girardi.
Damn, Didi. Bum. I loved you in your hair, but now you're a bum for going to the Phillies.
Yeah. That. So what are your thoughts on the season, though? Going into the season, let's just say Judge is not going to start opening day, because right now it's not looking likely. Obviously, Stanton will be out. Seve's out. Paxton's out. So let's just say, obviously you can't even include Seve anymore because he's done for the year. But with Paxton not coming back to almost like the All-Star breakish time, if Stanton, you know, Stanton and Judge, let's just say they missed the first couple, first month of the season per se. What are your thoughts here with this Yankees team? Like, what are, like, where do you see the season ending up? If, let's just say, Seffy's out, obviously Paxton will come back. Hopefully, you know, hopefully that's his yearly injury and that's it. Because I, when the Yankees got Paxton, Nick, I was not high on the move. I said, this is not the answer. He is not our ace. This dude is constantly injured. Every year he misses time. And sure enough, he's proven me right. So hopefully this is it for Paxton. Hopefully he doesn't suffer another injury. Hopefully this is his yearly injury and that's it. So you're kind of hoping that Paxton, you know, stays healthy. If Judge misses about 40, 50 games again, like he usually does every year, and let's just say Stanton plays 120, 130 games, where do you see this Yankees team? And we didn't even include any other possible injuries, which are sure to happen because, you know, injuries happen. Where do you see this Yankees team ending up, man?
It's just scary in general because you have a track record of giving MLB record-breaking deals to people who at the time Hall of Famers or All-Star level players, and then as soon as they get Yankee money, they completely quack because the pressure of New York. Oh, my God. But I don't know. With Gerrit Cole, I'm very scared of him. He's just going to come over here and quack like several other players in the past we got.
And what's funny you say that. Today he gave up 400 runs to the Tigers. But, you know, at spring training, maybe he was working – he gave up 6 runs. Maybe he was working on certain things because spring training doesn't matter. But that's just funny that you said that because today he didn't have his best outing. But again,
yeah, he could have been working on certain things in spring training. He can't handle the pressure of New York, but yet he goes to the Dodgers. He pitches for the Astros in the World Series, but that's not pressure. But pitching against the Marlins in New York on a Wednesday night, oh my God, the media, holy man, oh my God, can't handle that. But anyways. That's very scary. So I'm just very concerned the Gerrit Cole's gonna quack like Stanton quacked, A-Rod quacked. remember when we gave all that? Well,
A-Rod delivered a chip.
That. I'm gonna give that one to CC. CC's the only one that came over here and didn't completely quack, and kind of Teixeira a little bit. But you remember we gave all that money to AJ Burnett and like he didn't know how to throw a fastball. That was crazy, but. Oh, stop.
He did play well, though, in 09. But that was it. You have to admit, he did play well in 09. He came up huge when he counted in 09. And then after that, he quacked.
He'll forever be a bum for that. But anyways, this overall season, I don't know, man. It's the seasons, or the, not the season, the AL East, I feel like, is wide open. I feel like it's for the Yankees. The Rays, I don't care how well they play. They don't scare me. I'm not scared of the
Tampa. They're going to be good.
I'm so good on that. The Blue Jays, they do not scare me whatsoever.
They could be decent. Not as good as the Rays, but they could be decent.
The Orioles, I'm not scared of the Orioles. The Red Sox, unless they get Alex Cora
trash.
In the dugout cheating more, they don't scare me either.
They're up in the air, man. That's my opinion on them. Chris Sale, if he has Tommy John, I don't know.
My thinking
them,
is, if you're
we'll
gonna be the
them.
Yankees, I feel like you have to go out there and just find some like groundbreak. They have all that money. I feel like they could find a way to cheat. Like the Astros, they want a chip. They don't. Yeah, the Astros want a chip. They have to. The Astros want a chip. Nothing happened. The Red Sox, it's looking like the Manfred's too scared to release what he's going to do because he realized they cheated and wanted a chip, but he's not going to do anything about that. So I feel like you have no choice but to cheat. I feel like that's the tide nowadays. You got to go with the flow. And I feel like if they don't cheat, I mean, then it's a wrap. But I feel like they can and they should win the AL East. I don't know about the whole playoffs. And that situation, I mean, I like them to make a run. I feel like they can, but expectations, I feel like you at least got to win the AL East by a pretty decent margin. Despite all these injuries, like they're still pretty stacked, but I think they can and they should.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. They definitely can and should win the AL East, but you know, I think especially when you when you get Giancarlo Stanton after making it to Game 7 of the ALCS the year prior, you know, like you're pretty much saying, right, we're all in. And then when you double down and give Gerrit Cole $324 million over 9 years, you're like doubling down on already doubling down. Does that make sense? We're getting Stanton. So
I almost jumped off the Cashman bandwagon because like they said, yeah, let's we're gonna go all in. We're gonna go for the chip. We're gonna get Stanton. But oh yeah, the pitching. Let's get Sonny Gray. That doesn't work out. Let's get Swin. Let's get J.A. Happ. Like I feel like at this, they could have been already. They're already like in year four. What it is going into year four of being quote unquote all in. But now this is the first year of actually being, in my opinion, all in. Like they finally got the pitching that they needed, and I feel like they could have been already. They could have already gotten to the World Series, got their experience like Dodgers, and just yeah, like I possibly a chip or two in. It's better late than never, I guess. They gave Cole the money, but I don't know, man. I feel like they waited a little too long to actually. If they're gonna commit, you got to do it. You can't be half and half.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too is that, you know, you got to think time's running out a little bit because Judge is obviously going to need a contract. Gleyber Torres is going to need a contract. Gary Sanchez is going to need a contract. So, you know, you can't give everyone $300 million. So you got to start, winning when you have these
cheap,
guys under these cheap
too.
Deals.
They wanted to be all in, but at the same time, wait, let's be young and let's be cheap, but we'll also be all in at the same time. Like, come on, dude, you gotta pick one.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Nick? We totally forgot about someone who's also injured, who also got a contract extension recently and
Aaron
hasn't done
Hicks.
Squat in about a year and is going to be
Aaron
out for a lot of time
Hicks.
This year too. Yep, Aaron Hicks, another guy who's, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, great fielder, good bat. You know, he showed great coming back in the playoffs last year and playing with like a partially torn UCL. I give him a lot of credit for doing that. But this is another guy who got what, 7-8 year contract, or right? Something. It was a long term contract. The money, I mean, it wasn't a lot of money, but you're still given. I think it was $770 million. I think it was something like that. So you're really paying a guy $10 million over every year. But still, this is another guy who you expected to be here long term and
Aaron
play every
Hickey's.
Day, who can just not stay healthy. It's just crazy, man. Like, all these guys are hurt, and every contract extension, you know, both those contract extensions that Cashman gave out with Severino and Aaron Hicks are both turned out to be horrible deals. Like, yeah, the money works out, and I don't mean like horrible, like you're overpaying for the guy. I just mean horrible, like you sign these guys and now they're not available. So realistically thinking, you signed Severino to a 4-year contract extension. You're really only going to get him for a year and a half out of that 4 years. Isn't that crazy? You signed it to 4 years for $40 million, and you're only going to get a year and a half worth of service under that contract. It's just crazy. And again, like, I'm not pissed at Severino. Like, I'm not pissed at Aaron Hicks. Like, it's just, you know, it happens. I am pissed at Stanton. And as much as I love Judge, he's starting to piss me off with all these injuries, man. He really is. I'm sorry. I love Judge. He's my favorite Yankee on this current team. I have his jersey. I'd love to have his autograph. I root for the guy. I would love to be in the Judge's chambers, but this guy cannot stay healthy, and it's pissing me off. He could be the face of the franchise, be the Derek Jeter of the next generation, but if you're not on the field, it doesn't happen. Your best ability is your availability. Mm. The dude is not available.
Okay. I see you out here.
But am I wrong, though? Like, you're not getting aggravated with all these little injuries? And, yeah, I'm not including the broken wrist because that was a freak thing. But, like, the oblique, the shoulder, the pec, like, it just adds up, and it's so annoying. And it's starting to get almost on the Stanton level of, like, is this guy going to play, or is he going to complain about every little thing?
That I love with me. I haven't had really reactions anymore. I wake up, see the notification, I'm like, oh, this is new. I've never gotten to the point of being numb to the dealings, and this is just every day in the life, you know, completely normal. In the near future, I could see this continuing to happen.
Yeah, but we'll see, man. We'll see what happens this season. A little quick recap of everything we've done. The mosh posh. So with the Rangers, we'll see what happens, man. Like I said, they're 4 points out of the eighth seed. What about 18, 19, maybe a little less games to play. They totally have enough time to catch up, but they're in the middle of a really tough schedule. So if they make the playoffs, they're going to really have to earn their way into the playoffs. It's not going to be given to them. So they really got to earn it. Hopefully Igor could come back in a few weeks and give them a little bit more of a push. Hopefully they can stay afloat. Enjoy Hank while you have him this year, Ranger fans. I know, Nick, you love him. You just went through something like this with Eli Manning, and now you're going through it again with Henrik Lundqvist. So this might be the last time we get to watch Hank. So enjoy it, Ranger fans, while it lasts, because I personally don't think he'll be back next year, whether he gets traded or bought out. But expect to go into next year with Igor as number one and Georgie as number two. With the Knicks, the whole Spike Lee situation, man. Like I said, I don't want to start that rant over again, but I think Spike Lee is 100% in the wrong here. But we'll see what happens with that. And then with the Yankees, man, hopefully these guys can stay healthy. You know, they should and can win the AL East, and they should make a very deep run in the playoffs. And they're expected to be in the World Series, let alone win it. So we'll see what happens, man. Anything you want to add to any of the topics we spoke about today, Nick?
Keep an eye on these Guardians. Best thing in New York right now. On duty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's right.
When Matt McGloin isn't playing.
Mark Shepard.
Yeah, on duty there, the New York Guardians. We got to start talking. We got to have a podcast just about them.
2-2. We out here. We had a little hiccup. I was getting pretty nervous. And I was like, wait a minute here. What's going on?
Yeah.
But we're back in business.
Wouldn't it be pretty crazy that the New York Guardians kick off the new decade for New York sports? Wouldn't that be pretty funny? The first championship parade on the Canyon Heroes is the New York Guardians.
On duty. I got my gear.
And for this new decade.
Go. I'm going to be out to what game? I think I'm going to be out to the March 14th, I believe. I think they're playing the Dragons. I don't remember. But it's on the way.
Right, I guess my invite's still in the mail with my ticket.
On the way. We're going to be out to that Guardians game representing, because New York's on duty.
When was the last New York championship? Was that the Giants in
2000.
What was that? 11? So almost a decade, and the first championship could possibly be
the Rangers in 2014, but choke. Choke.
It could have been the Yankees, but choke. No, we have cheaters.
I don't blame Hank for that one. Choke.
Oh. All right. And real quick, if we had Panarin those years, especially in 2014, when they were competing for cups, we definitely would have won at least one.
What happened now?
With Panarin on that roster.
I completely phased out. I was too busy dreaming about this Guardians parade.
I said that real quick. I said if we had Panarin on the Rangers those years that the Rangers were like chasing the cup, especially the year when they made the Stanley Cup final, if they had Panarin on that team along with everybody else, they definitely would have won at least one cup by now.
Being bums.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. Like I said at the top of the show, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. Throw us a like on Facebook by searching our name in the search bar and clicking the thumbs up. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a great weekend, everybody.